Hey, what up? It's DK. Thank you so much for listening to the Mixing Music Podcast. I just want to do a quick plug. Did you know that I write kids' books? If you have children, nieces, nephews, I have books that are totally available for free or $10 on Amazon for physical copies. You can go to mixingmusicpodcast.com/kidsbooks to get access and learn more about that. Thank you for all of your support. Now let's get back to the show.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I'm your host, DK, and today with me we have a very special guest, Gary Biddy. How are you doing today, Gary?
I'm pretty good, man. Pretty good. I just now got back in the house from like a damn session my damn self.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, Gary, thank you for joining us, Gary. I'm really excited for this episode. As we all know, it's February in America, and I guess all over the world, it's Black History Month.
Right.
We celebrate Black culture in America. We talk about the good, the bad, you know, and all the beauty that comes with it. And because this is the Mixing Music Podcast, we're going to talk about how it affects the music business and how Black culture and Black history is a huge part of our culture as America. Mm-hmm. And Gary Biddy is a friend of ICE who we've interviewed before on the podcast. And Gary, do you want to talk a little bit about your background with music and kind of how you got to know ICE and where you're at now?
Sheesh. Okay, this is like a rabbit hole right here. So let me try to keep this good. I've been in music for about, I would say my whole life. My mom was inside a freaking reggae band. So I used to watch her rehearse and fucking eat cashews on the goddamn sidelines, like watch her all night. I kind of always been around music. Like I was like one of those guys that whenever I see any of my friends who like did nothing, I would be like, oh, you should make beats. Like I would like take the freaking laptops and download FL on it, whatever. I would just like always make everyone make beats. And this is before I was even in music. I would just always do it to like all my friends. And then my actual background is I was actually into like doing books and like, you know, Instagram, social media, and just photography, journalism, all those things. But I always had like music in like the freaking background. And I was faced with a position where I was like, I kind of had to like rebrand myself and kind of really find myself within music. And that's kind of like what happened. So I would say over the last 6-7 years, I've been just fully immersed in music. I have my own freaking management company. I do like freelance A&R work. One of my freaking mentors is freaking Soundwave from TDE. He's the one that does everything for all of them. I just kind of been out here doing my own thing. I've never worked at a label. Never had an internship, like none of that stuff. None of those like freaking great stories people have. Like, yeah, I interned from this and I learned this. Like, nah, like I never had a job nowhere. I'm kind of just here. You know what I mean? I kind of just found a way to always be in the mix, no matter what, despite like not having the right, pipeline to do it. And I met ICE by there's artist named Sylvan LeCue. Excuse me, I stutter, by the way, so that's gonna happen a lot. But this artist named Sylvan, and I believe ICE was his DJ at the time. And shit, I met ICE and we've been locked in ever since. I did Sylvan's last album, Apologies in Advance. I'm the one that executive produced and pretty much A&R'd that. And yeah, I met ICE, and ICE has been, man, if like, you know, ICE, like I know ICE, ICE is just someone who just like saves everyone's life. He just comes through clutch, no matter what it is. ICE will have some type of tool, gadget, or word that'll just make everything just make sense. So yeah, that's ICE for
that's
me.
True. We love ICE. ICE is the man.
Right.
And we're really glad that we get to know him, and it's awesome that you get to work with him. That's so fun.
Yeah.
So tell me, so let's just get started. I want to preface before we really start talking that this is and can be a sensitive topic, but I want to just tell the audience as well as to you, Gary, that I'm trying to be sensitive, but also trying to like alleviate ignorance. You know, there's a lot of ignorance around the topic, so I may ask some questions that may seem really ignorant, but I'm sure that there's a lot of people that are asking sort of the same questions.
Mm.
Now, in your experience, especially growing up as, you know, Black or African American in America, how big of a role has music played? And we can even dive into entertainment in general, but let's stay specifically music. How much of a role is music in your life and within Black culture as you've seen it?
Whew. Oh, man. I think it's shit. I mean, it's everywhere. Like, you're just immersed in it no matter where you go. Like there's not a memory that's not impacted by music. Like, growing up, if you heard, for me, growing up inside a freaking Black household, if you heard like gospel in the morning, you know it was time to freaking clean up. You know what I mean? Like, certain songs, you just knew, like, okay, this is what that day is like about. I would say for me, I would say that music is one of those things where, like, if you didn't really have right freaking role models or, like, you know, parents or whatever, music could actually serve as that parent, serve as that guide. You can really choose the albums that you want to live by or choose the artists that you want to, like, look up to and kind of, like, model your life by those lyrics, those words, or that vibe, whatever it was. You can actually, like, do it.
And I think, and this is not exactly relatable, but I think it's a little bit closer. I feel like in European culture, there's this culture of going to concerts. It's a form of entertainment. But I myself am from Okinawa, Japan, where it's a little bit more indigenous culture. Like, I'm an indigenous descendant of indigenous people in Japan, where music is probably seen the same way as West Africa was and, you know, Black communities in America, where music is not just entertainment. It's a place to be heard. It's a place to speak. It's a place for people to come together. And as you said, in church, celebrate God, or in rap music, like, celebrate overcoming your own weaknesses or talking about them. And it's so interesting to me that, especially in rap music, there's no other genre of music where you can be vulnerable and talk about all the crap that you had to go through and it be cool. You know, no other genre, can you do that and still be cool.
Right. It can be.
Go ahead.
No, I'm saying that's true. Like, it's definitely a way of, I don't know, it's just like, it goes back to, we're obviously being sensitive, but if it even goes back to like slavery and just Black people as a way to make anything, kind of enjoyable or make anything, or not even enjoyable, but make anything, just make anything work. Like, they will take anything and it's like, all right, well, this is what we have. We're going to, like, basically make it work. And, you know, you can hear songs that could be about the worst shit, but people have a way of, like, dressing it up and making it fun or making it appeal to someone. And I feel like that's one thing that's powerful about, at least, like, Black music. It's like, you know, it can be anything and someone will take it and swag on it, but, oh shit, this shit low-key fire. And it'll work. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, did you actually listen to lyrics? I mean, yeah. But
there's something. Yeah. There's something beautiful about, you know, being slaves and still singing songs from the heart to make every day a little bit more livable. Like, there's something super poetic about that.
Right. That's like, I don't know, man. I feel like in this life, there's two things that are like cornerstones. And I feel like it's like sense of humor and like music. You know what I mean? You got to have those two to really make it through any day. If you have a good sense of humor and you have music, I feel like anything is possible. I feel like that's the ultimate armor to, like, walk through life. You know what I mean? So yeah, for sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So as we kind of press forward, let's go into history here. Even in jazz, when I took theory in school, we always talked about West African rhythms and we learned the specific rhythm, the mother of all rhythms. It was a specific syncopated beat. And if you come back, you know, and come back to America and combine European scales and rules, dare I say, mm-hmm. to music, and you combine this beautiful, expressive, improvisational-based, you know, you're just expressing yourself in music, and it created something. It created blues, it created jazz, and as we know, that's kind of like everything right now. You can't run away from jazz.
Yeah. I've been learning that myself. Like, I'm not gonna say I'm the most like super novel person, but like as I work with, like, you know, people that play freaking violin or people that come from this nature or people come over here, like, jazz is somewhere like rooted in almost everything. Like, and it's kind of like, I don't know if that's like the soul of, you got jazz and you also have soul music, but it's like jazz comes from soul, soul comes from jazz. Like, it's just, it all still comes from like Black people. And it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, you really can't escape it. I think the way to really phrase it, that's really just feeling. Like, that's really like the main component of music that you really can't teach. And that's why I feel like that's how it finds itself inside every aspect of music, because it's more of like a feeling. Rather, if someone knows chords or they don't, they'll still end up playing some jazz chords because it's still a feeling. You know what I mean? Like, some, like, certain things you just can't avoid. So, I mean, that's when I basically hear jazz, that's what I think about. Like, it's a feeling. You can't kind of escape it. You know, it's just so real and dear to like everyone that it will definitely find its way to like come out of anything.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Do you feel that the feeling and the expressiveness that you were just talking about is part of the reason why, I would say like Black music, like historically speaking, Black music is so popular and relevant today? I mean, cause even like with hip hop, Black people is like, we're still the minority. You know, people of color are still the minority in the States. Right. Black people are still the minority. Yet Black cultural music has always been the majority, starting from Motown and Earth, Wind and Fire. Like, it's been such an amazing thing. Do you think that that's part of the secret, the sauce, is the emotional cultural aspect?
Yeah.
Of it?
Yeah. Because I mean, they have those things like music is like universal language, or love is universal language. And you like have all these things, but when you basically break people down, if you want to remove color, it's all just feelings and, you know, energies and, you know, things like that. And I feel like, people of color in general, just like all over, who, you know, everyone's oppressed, everyone has some type of battle that's crazy. I feel like it always finds a way to speak through the music, and you can't avoid a feeling. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can go make a little pop record or do something that's like, oh yeah, this is like a freaking formula that's going to work. But a feel, you really can't avoid it. It's going to come. You know what I mean? And I feel like that is why it like resonates with like so many people, because anybody can, you know, we are all like humans. So we're all going to have the same set of emotion, the same set of like life triggers. Everyone's life is the same to some fucking degree. Like, everyone is trying to move up. Everyone has been low. Everyone has lost a job. And everyone has, something has happened to everyone. And somehow inside our music, we have a way of touching on those topics like all the time, that any Black could be like, you know what, I like this because it's somewhere in their life, it just like made sense. And I feel like that's how people actually cling on to artists and actually like feel like, oh, this artist is for me, or like this artist, I can like freaking, you know, see them, like people can see themselves in the artist because it's like, so, you know, it's like so freaking similar. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, in your opinion, what other things do you feel that Black culture has done to improve the entertainment business or music in general? Because it'd be very easy for us to say just blanket general statement like, you know, we're really grateful that Black culture was able to unite, but it comes from a sad history, you know, a sad past that we can't deny. But do you think that it kind of fuels part of, like, what do you think about the relationship of the sad past? I think that's what I'm trying to ask. What do you think about the relationship with music now versus the sad past that it came from, being slaves and being brought over, you know, generational trauma and pain?
Right. I feel like, I don't know. It's weird. Cause I feel like we're getting away from it. I don't know if that's like necessarily a good thing or a bad thing. I'm still kind of trying to figure it out. Cause like, you know, I feel like a lot of music should be made with, I just feel like art in general, I feel like the best art comes naturally, one, and the best art comes from intention. And I feel like we are kind of in a space where it's so much of a hobby and so fun that a lot of music that's coming out, it can be a really great thing, or it could be really like, the world really didn't need this album. You know what I mean? Yeah. But at the same time, everyone needs to be able to express themselves. But at the same time, I wish that there was a little bit more intention in it. And I feel like going back, there were intentions behind the song. The songs were made to uplift. The songs were like, you have songs like that. You have freaking War Chants. You have like freaking Rituals. You have like all type of things that every single song had a purpose. And I feel like, you know, where we are somewhere in the world now where people are just trying to figure out their own, like, people trying to figure out their own like purpose, and then they're doing the music. So sometimes their own like purpose catches up to the music, or sometimes the music has purpose and they don't. And it's just like it's big old like song and dance, if you will, of people trying to figure out what is really needed and what isn't needed. But for me, I feel like we are like definitely getting away from it because just music is being made with less intention, because everyone see that, you know, you can make money, or like you can be a star, or I can just, you know, I can just get freaking verified, and I can go do this. Like, there's like so many things that's like attached to music now that it just happens. Like people are like, oh yeah, I was like a freaking Vine star. Okay, cool. I got followers. Fuck it. I'm going to make an album. It's like, that's not like the pipeline for everything, for every single crossroad in life. It's like, oh, well, people are looking at me. Well, I guess I can make an album. Like, since when did just having some type of notoriety automatically made you an artist to like make music? And I feel like that's kind of where we're getting away from those old like principles that kind of, you know, that kind of had built us up. If that's a long answer, my bad.
No, absolutely. Thank you. It's so funny. We were just saying this before we started recording the show, but even if I were still living in Japan, and I was working in the Japanese music industry, if you listen to music from the 80s, it's totally stolen and inspired by Quincy Jones, you know, and even to today, it's like, it's very much jazz inspired and a lot of funk inspiration. And, I mean, not all of it, obviously. Japan still like loves reggae. Reggae is a very popular genre in Japan. Very influenced by black music, you know, black culture. And this may be, a weird thing to say, and it may sound stupid when I say it out loud, you know, but although there was a lot of generational trauma and pain that should have been avoided and never should have happened, at the same time, when I listen to music from the years, from old times, from blues to a little bit more like 70s, 80s, like Motown to Michael Jackson to now, I still can't help but feel gratitude that there was this fusion of American, like European culture and black culture. And because there's something about it that's so beautiful, and it could have happened nowhere else. Nowhere else in the world would that music ever have happened, you know? And I hate to say it because it came from pain, but I also have to say that I'm grateful for it. And especially as someone working in the music industry, especially someone working in the music industry, I cannot state this enough. Like, I owe my entire career to the black community. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't for hip hop, if it wasn't for R&B, like I grew up in Chicago. There, like, I didn't listen to rock music, you know, like, I mean, that rock music is still good, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know, whatever. But I mean, like, at the same time, like, I can't deny that it influenced my life and created a career path for me and made me love music. And I don't know if it would have happened if it wasn't for, you know, the history in the past.
Yeah, man, that's, and when you really think about it like that, it's like, damn. It's like, that's really like,
because it sucks, like, straight up. Yeah. Like, slavery's no joke.
Yeah, right. Like, no,
and,
not at all.
Like, systematic racism is no joke.
At all.
You know, small scale, macro scale. Mm-hmm. But we got, like, soul music out of it, and we got blues out of it. Like, I don't know if it's equal exchange. It's not equal exchange, but
right.
I'm grateful. And, I mean, and to that, I will always say I owe my career to the black community.
Right. I mean, it's crazy because, I mean, I don't know if this is like veering off, but even me as a manager, like when I basically look at artists, I guess you could say that I am looking for the pain in the artist, where it's like what is the artist's narrative? You know what I mean? And like the best like narratives I've seen that I've come across have come across pain, like, you know, pain and, you know, L's give you the best lessons. You know what I'm saying? Like, you have to fail to really like freaking learn something. So that's probably why all that music was so fire, because it was like, it was so much crazy shit going on that like the art just had to be the only balance that made it all make sense, because everything else was like so fucking crazy. So I don't know. I mean, I feel like when I hear the word pain, I'm like, ooh, like, not to be like, oh, this is exciting, but it's like, okay, this is going to help someone else. You know what I'm saying? Because if you are being that like vessel that can like speak on your pain, someone else is dealing with the same thing. And that's kind of why it goes back again. Like, everyone can relate to it, you know? And if there's pain, there's also a freaking narrative. And if you know what you're doing, you're able to like convey that and make that thing bigger, you know? So, yeah, I feel like that's why the 80s and all that stuff was like so crazy, because there was so much going on back then. So, and probably now, I mean, we done went through Trump and some more shit. So I can only imagine the music that's going on right now, you know, that's actually soon about to actually come out now. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And as we celebrate Black History Month in February, and to all the listeners that's listening right now, we'd like to invite you and challenge everyone here to post about it, to talk about it, to be open about it, to thank where the thanks belong, you know, to go and pay respect to where the respects belong.
Right.
And we can, as America, as a nation, as a world, we cannot deny that the pain and the trauma that African Americans have gone through has created something beautiful. And while I was on a live stream, we were talking about songwriting and writing real lyrics.
Real.
Your true lyrics. Someone commented, "What's the sauce? How do you write lyrics that deep?" And my answer was super one word and super simple: trauma.
Right. Exactly. That's really,
you know, the shit that comes from trauma is beautiful, but also, was it worth it?
Exactly. It's like, damn. That's like, what's those memes of like, damn, but did you die though? It's like, nah. I mean, that's literally, that's funny that you brought it up, because literally an album that's about to come out actually Friday, Sylvan's album. Literally our whole concept was trauma. Like, that's the whole thing, is like a whole train of thought of just everything that he went through and just like letting it like flesh out, just like live streaming it and just putting it all out together. And it's like, yeah, I mean, and like, actually that was, you know, he's done like a lot of albums, and we made the album like 2 weeks. He's like, yo, this is the fastest I've ever made music in my entire life. And it's like, yeah, cause you're actually speaking from a real place and it's natural. And it's like, these are real stories that you actually went through. And that's why it's easy to actually talk about. But if you're like at that level and you're actually ready, to be open with yourself, it's easy to like streamline everything, you know? So, that one word that's everything. Yeah. Trauma, pain.
Yeah. All right. And, thank you so much, Gary. As we finish up, I kind of wanted to ask one more question for the people in the audience, because Black music is so celebrated and it's so accepted around the world nowadays. There comes a simple question and, something that people think about. And I think it comes from the idea of, maybe it stems from the idea of, you know, growing up in the suburbs of Chicago, surrounded by all white people, when Biggie talks about selling drugs, white people don't think, oh my gosh, like, why is he so stupid to sell drugs? But it right. like, realistically speaking, in that scenario, that was the only way he could pay rent, you know? And as he says in Juicy, the way that he can put his daughter in school and feed his daughter. Right, you know, that's like a real life decision that you can choose. But to white people, they don't get it, right? So it's such a different world. But at the same time, let me ask you this. As black music is so celebrated and accepted now around the world, do you think that it is okay for, how should I say this, white people to pay homage by creating hip hop music and black music themselves?
I mean, I think people have their quarrels with that all the time. It's like, oh, no white rappers. It's like, and there's like never many like big white rappers or whatever. I think it is really about just them just really being themselves. I feel like a lot of times people come into music and I feel like it's not even a freaking race thing. A lot of times people come to be like an artist and they think what they do is they become an artist that they think people will like, versus just being themselves. And that's a problem that like artists have. It's like, if you come into this game and you're basically being yourself, someone's going to freaking rock with it. You know what I'm saying? Like Eminem was talking about, you know, killing his mom, killing his girlfriend. Everybody fucked with it. All people said, oh, this is weird. Everybody supported him heavily because he was being himself. I feel like when you have white rappers or whatever, and they come into hip hop and they're trying to like have like a black story, I feel like that's the problem that gets it kind of like dicey. Although someone white can come from the same ghettos and they can talk about it the same way. But it's like, I feel like there's like a little like slippery slope between being a white rapper and really just like basically being real about it.
So it sounds like it's more not about where the music comes from and the culture of the music, but it's more so about the honesty behind the music.
So
it's not so much like, no, a white person shouldn't be ashamed to be rapping. Like, just be careful, like, be true and authentic to yourself, because that's what hip hop and black music is about.
Is that
what you're saying?
That's literally the sauce that everyone's looking for. The sauce is being honest. Like, that's really the sauce. No matter how corny it might sound, no matter how whatever, sad, emo, the sauce is literally just being yourself. If you be yourself, people are going to like you. Just like dating. If you try to talk to a girl, be yourself. If you try to talk to a guy, be yourself. Like, that's how people are going to buy into you. As people are like going to like you. When you go to an interview for a job, it's like, they tell you, be yourself. Let your fucking personality shine through. Don't come in here trying to act a way that you think I want you to act. Because we are going to pick that up and we're going to spit you out like, nah, this is trash. Oh, he's faking. Oh yeah, this like isn't real. So overall, it's just something where people just have to come in here, be true, and it'll work. You know what I mean? All you really have to do is like be real and be true and it'll work. But I feel like a lot of people are like comparing and looking at what's worked and what's and like, you know, doing basic stuff like that. And they come in here with their own little set template on like how to fucking do things. And that's what ends up them not freaking lasting. Cause some of it will work, but it won't work forever. Because Absolutely.
And I think that's a beautiful way to end this episode. And I want to thank you again so much, Gary, for your time. Thank you so much for all the words that you've said. And we're really grateful that you were able to get on the show with us.
Hey, man, appreciate it. Thank you. This is my freaking first one, so thank you so much.
Well, we got you on your first podcast ever. Thank you so much, Gary. Do you have an Instagram at that people can find you at?
Yeah, it's the same as my name. It's freaking Gary Biddy, GARYBIDDY.
At Gary Biddy. That's right. Go follow him and talk to him. Start up a conversation if you like. And just something to think about this month is appreciating black culture and black music and the black history that it came from. And thank you so much, Gary. On that note, I hope everybody You know, happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy.
1, 2, 3.
If you'd like to take advantage of my free guides and online videos, please check out links.dekmixes.com. That's links.dekeimixes.com. The Mixing Music Podcast is proud to say that we have a lot of free resources outside of the actual podcast. Visit mixingmusicpodcast.com/links to find access to our free PDFs and free resources.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.